And welcome to another edition of Cornette's Commentary right here on Who's Slamming Who. This is Tommy Fear with the Doctor of Downloads himself, Mr. James E. Cornette. Jimmy,
now,
what's going on?
Tommy, tell everybody last week wasn't my fault.
Well,
it was a system error.
Not your fault. The system we have stinks. What happened was we had over 10,000 hours of audio from the last 2 years. And I guess the system only holds a certain amount, so I would physically go in the system and delete a bunch of audio, but JC was willing and able to go last week. And
now, you didn't delete me, did you?
No.
This could be a big-selling compilation disc at some point, all of many ramblings that we've had together, you and I, on our humble little podcast.
Very, very humble. No, actually, we have a separate thing with every audio save. Just in that system of around there, we deleted.
So you deleted plenty of Bolin, right?
Oh, God, there's
just
hours,
delete
hours
all of Bolin. Okay, you know, I wanted to tell everybody last week, I didn't get a chance to talk about several things. One, while I was gone to Toronto for the big Ring of Honor pay-per-view, which we're going to talk about. And by the way, folks, the fuck yous are coming, too.
All right.
Some big news. Martha Hart suing the WWE. Some big news, and there's a fuck you coming. I want to talk a little bit about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. But while I was gone in Toronto, come to find out in Louisville, Kentucky, that we had a 4.7 earthquake on the Richter scale. At least that's what they thought it was. Then they found out it was just Bolin. He tripped and fell off his front porch. So it made the news for a day or two, and then they found out what happened. But anyway, I was in Toronto. For anybody who's seen Death Before Dishonor 8 on pay-per-view or any of the folks that were there in Toronto, by the way, I enjoyed the shit out of Toronto, Canada. We went to the best buffet I've ever been to in my life, a place called Wasabi in Mississauga. And imagine a Chinese restaurant, a hibachi grill, and a sushi place, all you can eat, best food ever, of a huge variety, even at prime rib, everything, huge dessert menu for $24 a head Canadian. I don't know what that works out to American, but it's around the same thing. Cheap anyway. Cheap for twice the price with this quality. One of the greatest grocery stores I've ever been to, wonderful hotel up there, and the wrestling fans were tremendous in Toronto. So we just had a great time and enjoyed meeting everybody. But for anybody who's seen this pay-per-view, anybody who was there, anybody that's read about it, you got to buy it. Go to Go Fight Live. It's still up. You can get it on demand. I have never been so thrilled. You know, once again, Ring of Honor keeps topping itself. And not only was this universally praised as one of the greatest shows from Ring of Honor of all time, whether it be pay-per-view, live event, or anything, but also it was the highest buy rate, the highest number of buys for any pay-per-view that Ring of Honor has yet produced, so we're headed in the right direction. It was up, I want to say 30% or more from the Big Bang, and everybody was on the internet message board on Ring of Honor, et cetera, praising it. But I got to talk about, there were several great matches. Christopher Daniels and Kenny Omega was great. Generico and Steen tore the house down with their grudge match. Obviously, the Briscoes and the Kings of Wrestling had a good old-fashioned Southern bloodbath. I mean, it looked like one of the old NWA Omni matches from the 70s. There was blood flying. Kerry Silken had to change his shirt after that match. He was sitting ringside. But everybody's been talking about the Ring of Honor world title match between Tyler Black and Davey Richards. And I've got to say that these guys, I didn't think it was possible to top the Briscoes and the Kings of Wrestling, and they went out there after four people bleeding, fighting, furniture, everything you could imagine in a real brawl, and two guys went out and had a wrestling match and topped it. And I thought that was a tremendous endorsement of the Ring of Honor style and the Ring of Honor product. These guys, for over half an hour, I think it was 35 minutes, tore the house down, and it reminded me, Tommy, and I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, Jim Cornette's going over the top with his hyperbole, but when I watched Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat in 1989 have those tremendous classic matches for the NWA World title, I thought, this is as far as you can go. It's they went just far enough to be entertaining and still kept the aura of a contest. Any further and you wouldn't have believed they were fighting for something, maybe any less and it wouldn't have been so entertaining, but Flair and Steamboat were the gold standard. And really, I've never seen anything since then that touched me in that same way. The WWE matches, WWF matches back then, to be honest, the arena's always lit so well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The ring's always so clean. You know, everything's just so pristine. It doesn't have the aura of a real fight. Bret Hart and Steve Austin at that WrestleMania match, really, it was WrestleMania, wasn't it? 97. Yeah, I'm sure somebody out there will correct me, but Bret Hart and Steve Austin, to me, reached that, but most WWE matches just too scrubbed and sanitized and clean. But when I watched Tyler Black and Davey Richards, it occurred to me that 20 years later, these guys are now the gold standard, or set the gold standard for, to me, what professional wrestling is. It was two guys having a contest for a world championship that was so entertaining. It wasn't independent wrestling. It wasn't guys doing spots and moves and going through a performance or a routine. It was two guys beating the piss out of each other in the most athletically entertaining way that I've seen in a long time. I could go on and rave, but do yourself a favor. Even if you get it for free, I'm not gonna blister you, because if you see this match, if you get this one for free, if you are that dishonest, you will buy all Ring of Honor pay-per-views in the future. It's that good. So don't miss it if you can. Tyler Black, Davey Richards, Toronto, June 19th. To me, the 21st century version of Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat.
Wow. I actually want to check it out now.
Wait a minute. You need to tell me that you weren't in front of your computer screen live? Tommy, your old friend and bosom buddy Jim Cornette, involved in the hottest new promotion in the country today and a great pay-per-view, and you did not order it live as it happened?
No, I'm sorry. I was watching something else, actually.
What were you doing? You weren't washing your hair. You sure weren't exercising. What the fuck else could you have been doing? Okay, I want everybody to write and blister Tommy Fierro for not ordering this pay-per-view, because that's just ridiculous.
They will, too.
And I want to get to some fan mail, because I got, you know, a few great fan letters over the past week, but I want to talk about this lawsuit with the WWE and Martha Hart. Now, it seems to me, and obviously, you know, you can't believe anything Jerry McDivitt says. He's a lawyer, so that immediately disqualifies him from telling the truth in any way, shape, or form, because he's a good lawyer. A good lawyer is even a bigger liar than a bad lawyer. So you can't really believe anything that comes out of Linda McMahon's mouth, because she's, you know, I don't have anything against her personally, but she is a Republican, so you can't believe anything there. So I believe I got to side with the widow on this one. I got to believe, until I'm proven wrong, until somebody proves that Martha Hart is wrong, I got to believe her. Now, I find it hard to believe that the WWE actually would have tried to get away for the past 11 years with selling Owen Hart's, you know, likeness on these DVDs, because everybody gets royalties. I even get a royalty check. And you better believe, if I ever find out they've used anything that I'm entitled to a royalty on and I don't get a check, I'll have a lawyer next morning. But even people who have gone away, they used to call me in the office and say, Jim, do you know how to get a hold of this guy or that guy? Because we had a royalty check for $62 sitting here for him. And I go, yeah, I know how to find them, because they're in wrestling. I'm not surprised you people don't know how to find them. They're in the wrestling business. But Martha Hart ain't hard to find. And according to what her lawsuit is saying, not only does she not want the WWE to use any more Owen Hart videos, any more Owen Hart DVDs, sell any more Owen Hart stuff, but she is suing for back royalties, because they put out the Heart and Soul DVD, right?
Yeah.
They put out a lot of stuff with Owen Hart over the last 10 years. If she didn't get a check, now if she did get a check and we find this out, well, Martha, now I wish you wouldn't have done that. I support her. I think she has the right to say, I don't want my husband's name to have any way, shape, or form associated with the WWE. After all, they did kill him. I can see why she's hot. But if they have been selling this and not even sending her royalties, holy fucking shit. What kind of balls can you possibly have? You kill the guy, you lose a lawsuit. Actually, they profited on the lawsuit, because they went back and sued the shackle manufacturer, so they're the only people in the world that can kill somebody and then profit off their death. But how can you kill somebody, Tommy, and then sell their videos and not give the widow a check? How can you possibly do that?
Doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right at all. So basically what I'm saying is, you know, since the track record that each person associated with the WWE has of being either a Republican or a liar or a lawyer, which is basically all three the same thing, then I got to side with Martha until she's proven different, and I assume this will go to court. And if they've been selling the Owen Hart DVDs and all this other type of thing and not sending Martha Hart a check, I hope she ends up with the title to Titan Tower. I hope she ends up with a big plot of property in Stamford, Connecticut. I don't blame her. Owen Hart was a great wrestler, and his fans do deserve to see his videos, but I think she ought to be the one selling them. I think that should have been a settlement in a lawsuit because, I mean, and why does Vince Russo not ever get brought up in this, by the way? Because Vince Russo was the one. Owen Hart was a great wrestler. That wasn't enough for Vince Russo. He had to put him in that silly, stupid, bullshit blue blazer costume from back in the 80s when it was silly and stupid then. But at least nobody knew who Owen was on a national basis then. Owen Hart becomes a great wrestler. They screw his brother, Brett, and I'm not really upset about that because he was making millions of dollars a year from both companies. But then when Owen actually, in solidarity to his brother, you would expect that family tries to get released. They won't release him from his contract. That was there then. I remember this. They wouldn't release him, but they did give him a raise to come back from $250,000 to $400,000. Now, his brother was making, what, $1.5 million and going down there to Atlanta to make $2.5 million. But anyway, they give him a raise, and they promise him they're going to market him as Canada's biggest wrestling hero, and he's going to get a run with Shawn Michaels to get revenge for the family. And I remember this, too, and I also remember that Shawn Michaels, now, of course, this was before he was born again, so now he just kisses puppies and loves life. Shawn Michaels wasn't going to work with Owen Hart. Shawn Michaels wasn't going to put Owen Hart over. Shawn Michaels and the fucking son-in-law with the big forehead at that time and the rest of the fucking assholes they hung out with, they didn't want to know from Owen Hart, and that's why Owen got promised all this stuff, but then Shawn hurt his back and took his ball and went home, and everything was dropped, and a year later, Owen ends up the blue blazer in the ceiling in Kansas City because Vince Russo, it wasn't enough for Vince Russo that Owen Hart was a great wrestler. He had to somehow make him entertaining. Everybody knows Owen didn't want to go up there. Owen thought it was bullshit, but he didn't want to rock the boat because he had already turned down some kind of fucking sick sex thing, and I love sick sex things, but not in wrestling, that Russo had come up with for him and Deborah McMichael, and here's a guy that's married with kids, loves his wife, loves his kids, trying to save enough money so he can get out of the wrestling business and take care of them and have a happy life with them, so he didn't want to be fucking around with Deborah Marshall. So he turned that down. Then he didn't want to turn down going up in the ceiling in Kansas City. And basically, that's why he died. Vince Russo, maybe that's why Vince Russo's born again, because he feels guilty because he murdered Owen Hart. But sure as I'm sitting here, Owen didn't go up there of his own idea. He didn't want to go up there. He shouldn't have been up there. It had nothing to do with wrestling. It didn't sell any fucking tickets. Vince Russo loved the blue blazer because it was 80s WWF, which is all he fucking knows. And Vince McMahon didn't honor his commitment to Owen Hart of pushing him and actually making his little fucking twat fair-haired boy Shawn Michaels put the fucking kid over. So he ends up in a ceiling in Kansas City, and he gets killed. And then everybody in the WWE, Vince McMahon's indignant. Jerry McDivitt's indignant because his wife was mad about it. Of course his wife was mad about it, and she sued to get money to take care of her kids because her husband wasn't around anymore. And she didn't want her husband's name involved with the WWE or them to just disappear it. They got rid of Chris Benoit. They erased him from history. And why? Because he made the company look bad. But they can't erase somebody from history that they killed. Why not just bundle up all the videos and say, here you go, Martha. Sell these videos of Owen Hart and take the money and put it in the Owen Hart Foundation. But no, that they couldn't do something like that. Or they couldn't even just say, okay, we're going to ignore the whole thing. Or they couldn't even be honest and upfront with her about what they were doing. So, like I said, if Martha's been getting a check all this time, which I doubt, and has just filed this for political reasons like they're trying to claim. Have you noticed anytime somebody knocks the McMahons, they're out to get them. The government was out to get Vince. It wasn't that they were trying to crack down on steroids. It was personal with him. Maybe he pissed him off because of the way he acts. Every time somebody says something bad about the WWE, now they're going after Linda's Senate campaign. It's not true. It's just a smear campaign. Well, the point is, if Martha Hart was getting residuals all this time and she's just not telling anybody and she's suing now for residuals or royalties, then shame on Martha. But I don't think that's the case because I truthfully, like I said, out of both sides, I know who I would believe before the other. And the point is, I hope she gets $50 million this time, and I hope that she sets up 15 foundations, and I hope that once again somebody shows Vince fucking McMahon and the rest of his clan that they're not special and that they can't just do anything to anybody that they want to fucking do. And I wish somebody'd name Russo in that, too, while they're at it. So anyway, a big fuck you to the WWE on behalf of the Owen Hart Foundation from Jim Cornette.
DC, you're on a roll tonight, baby.
Well, it just is fucking ridiculous. Now, I got a couple of letters here, and I didn't even pre-plan this. I didn't even highlight a few of the good parts. But hello, Jim, good sir, says John. You know, they agree with me on TNA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they said, why don't all the people who tune into Cornette's commentary every week, 100,000 of your closest friends and family, why not get them to start sending their ideas to old TNA Dixie over on Twitter and show her that there are at least 100,000 people out there with better ideas than Vince Russo? Because he said, because that wouldn't be too hard, would it? Just have everybody send her one decent booking idea, like let the Young Bucks actually wrestle on your television program, or make sure all of your major money feuds are based on logical conflicts to protect both the talent and the prestige of the titles. Obviously, I'm an amateur, but these seem like pretty basic things to include in a wrestling product that TNA obviously feels they can do without. Maybe end the tweets to Twat Dixie, sorry, TNA Dixie, he says, with Cornette Core or something to make it a trend. But anyway, let's start Twittering Twatter Dixie. One good booking idea per week just to show her that there's 100,000 people out there that are smarter than Vince Russo. It shouldn't be too hard.
I like it.
Gary writes also, you know, actually I'm going to read this whole thing because it goes on for a while, but I would just like to finish up with his comments on TNA. The booking is horrible, the storyline sucks balls, and Dixie, Hogan, Bischoff, and Russo are running the show like they have their heads stuck up each other's asses. I hope that sometime in the future we can watch more and more of ROH on more channels. In this world, I see wrestling as this. ROH is number one, WWE number two, and TNA, well, who gives a shit? And Ben writes in, hey, Jim, I read that article about you wanting to kill Vince Russo and found it very interesting. Now, I heard that some people say you went too far, and I disagree with them. You did not go far enough. Wrestling in TNA and WWE needs to be cured of the cancer that is infecting it right now. Vince Russo needs to be destroyed, but so does Dixie Carter, Hulk Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Bubba the Love Sponge, who needs to be shot over and over and over again. Now, remember, this is Ben writing in. This ain't me, folks. Stephanie McMahon needs to be terminated, as does Kevin Dunn, Johnny Ace, Triple H, all those comedy action adventure writers on the creative team, and Vince McMahon himself needs to be wiped out in order for the sport of pro wrestling to recover completely. If we can't annihilate all or any of these people, we'll just imprison them in Gitmo or force them to deliver pizzas for the rest of their lives. Anyways, that's my opinion on the matter. One last thing. Try not to tell anyone about this message, because if you do, it could cause trouble for both of us. Well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. And hopefully there'll be no trouble. But it's all said and fun. So there you have it, the fan mail on Cornette's commentary today.
Yeah, and anyone that wants to write to Jim and hopefully get your letter read on the air by Jim himself, you can do so at jimcornette@jimcornette.com. Again, jimcornette@jimcornette.com.
And now remember, I get a lot of these things, guys, and I ain't a great typist, and I have some demands on my time, so if you don't get a personal answer, don't be mad at me, and then don't write me back and say I suck balls.
Hey, did you hear about your boy Batista's looking to get into MMA?
No, he's not. He's just looking to get in the newspapers. He's 0 for life against black guys. Booker T beat his ass. Slick Robbie D, rest his soul, in Louisville here at OVW, just beat the piss out of him in the back one day. Apparently, he can't whip cream with an outboard motor, and all those big muscles are all for show and no for go. But he's 40-something years old. He couldn't have an 8-year uninterrupted career in the WWE without taking 2 years off for injuries accumulated. So now he thinks he's going to go fight these young guys. I think the best thing for him is to collect his cars. I've heard he's a big car collector. Collect his cars, and everybody says he lives large. Let me tell you something. I told Batista in the year 2001, I said, if I could just transplant my brain into your body for 1 year, we could both retire. Well, he's been making millions of dollars for the past 8 years, millions of dollars a year, and people are still writing that, well, he'll be back because he needs the money. He's got to be the biggest fucking moron that ever lived and didn't listen to a goddamn word that me or Danny Davis or anybody tried to teach him in OVW. Well, that's pretty obvious anyway. If he's made all that money for the past 8 years and he needs to hit a lick at a snake for the rest of his life, so good luck to him.
You hear about the rumors going around in TNA about this ECW idea or angle or something like that.
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing that. It'll only be the sixth or seventh time that somebody's done that over the past 3 or 4 years. Didn't they just finish resurrecting and putting the boots to the corpse of ECW up in the WWE? Hasn't Vince Russo, the mark that he is, tried to put together ECW factions? Even Heyman don't want to do an ECW. I guarantee you, if Paul Heyman was to tell the truth, which, of course, if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass on the ground. But if Paul Heyman was to tell the truth, even he would say, I don't want to do an ECW faction because everybody else is doing 1997 wrestling, and I don't want to be seen as one of these fucking morons that can't get their heads out of their ass and move into the 21st century. So I bet you even Heyman don't want to do it. Well, Heyman ain't showed up to do it yet. Maybe he needs the money like Batista. That's the only reason I could think that he would fucking show up and do something like that, because Heyman was all about creating new styles of wrestling and finding new stars, and ECW was something new at the time. It wasn't necessarily the greatest thing for the business, but it was new at the time. So why would Paul Heyman want to come in, do something that's already been done and done to death in both companies in one form or fashion or another, and rely on shit from 15 years ago to show everybody that he's just like Vince Russo and Vince McMahon? He doesn't have a fucking good idea, and he hadn't had one in 15 years. Explain that one to me, Ricky.
Hey, you got time for one or two questions on my end from some people that have been writing in?
Oh, I guess since we didn't give them anything last week, we ought to go above and beyond the Call of Duty today.
All right, cool. First question, someone wants to know, if you could take one guy, anyone you want, out of the WWE and have them in Ring of Honor, it could be any guy, top guy, bottom guy, whatever you want, one guy from WWE that you'd like to see in Ring of Honor, if you can have him, who would you pick?
Oh, my God, that's a tough one. I got to start thinking of who's still there that I give a shit about. once again, there's a lot of guys that are really good talents in WWE, obviously. Randy Orton is a tremendous talent. But I don't think Randy Orton would hang. I don't think he'd last in Ring of Honor. I don't think he could fucking do it. He's a great talent for the WWE style. But, you know, a lot of people look at the big superstars and think, well, if they came to Ring of Honor, well, they wouldn't be able to fucking hang. You'd take a fish out of water. It's a different style. I'm sure there probably are some guys in WWE that would fit that fucking profile, but I don't want to call any one particular person's name because then I'd be slighting the other one. But
sure.
Actually, I'd love to see Triple H come on over to Ring of Honor, because I'd love to put Triple H in the ring with Davey Richards and watch him cry like a fucking bitch.
So that'd be the one guy you pick then?
I'll pick Triple H as long as he works with Davey Richards, as long as it has to go a half an hour, and as long as Richards is in a bad mood that day.
You know this is going to make the headlines of every wrestling website. Jim Cornette picks someone you will not believe to main event Ring of Honor.
There you go. Yes, as long I have no problem with anybody disseminating that information, as long as they finish it up. I not only want Triple H, I want Triple H to work with Davey Richards. I want it to be a 45-minute Iron Man match with Richards in a bad mood.
Well, you just go 1 hour.
I don't want to kill the fucking guy. Wait a minute. Yeah, let's go 1 hour.
And another one who wants to know, they heard you talk a little bit in the past about John Cena, but they want your thoughts on how you perceive him as a performer and as the top star of the WWE and in wrestling in 2010.
Well, you know, I can't say anything bad about John Cena, and I know that'll disappoint a lot of people, but John was a great guy here in OVW. He did everything that was asked of him. He was entertaining as shit. I loved the prototype. I can say something bad about what John has been forced to do. I hated the baggy pant rapper thing that he first started out with, and I'm not real fond of, you know, when I first saw John Cena as the prototype here in OVW, I saw a great promo. I saw a great-looking athlete. I saw a guy that was a pretty good worker then, and I know a lot of people blister him about his work. I haven't seen a lot of his matches in years because I don't watch the shit, but if he hasn't progressed as a worker, he's still on top, he's still drawing money, he's still selling tickets and merchandise, so, you know, he's got to be better than, well, let's say, for example, you know, Dusty was not exactly a high flyer, but he sold a lot of tickets. Abdullah the Butcher was not exactly the greatest classic worker of all time, but he was a big name in the business. But John, as the prototype, I saw him as a future superstar because his promos were tremendous. And that John can cut a promo. I hate that they write material for him, but when he does his own shit, he's fucking great. So I have no problem with John Cena. He's always been a stand-up guy. He remembers his friends. He doesn't knock people that have helped him. And I ain't going to say a bad word about John Cena. And I'll even forgive him the fact that he takes up for Vince McMahon because Vince McMahon pays him $5 or $10 million a year. So I guess for that I'd lie a little bit about the old prick.
Well, I guess that'll do it this week here on Cornette's Commentary. And just remember, Jim Cornette has personally invited Triple H to attend a Ring of Honor event.
Now don't misphrase. Don't misconstrue me here, Tommy. I didn't invite him to attend a Ring of Honor event. I invited him to come and get in the ring with Davey Richards for an hour in an Iron Man match. Because I would love to see, and we'll have an ambulance standing by, because, of course, all that human growth hormone and all them steroids he stuck up his ass all these years, I'm sure he'd have some kind of stroke or heart attack about halfway through with Davey, because only real athletes can hang with Davey Richards. That's why he and Tyler Black was such a great match. And Triple H will be sitting there in his luxurious limousine in his palace that his wife's money has bought for him and his father-in-law has pushed him to the fucking moon, even though he's boring and fucking nobody gives a shit. He'll say, well, that's a bunch of indie wrestling, and I wouldn't lower myself. Well, here's the problem. The problem is, Triple H, you're the guy that worked with the guy that drew the money. That's all you've ever been, and that's all you ever will be, and you married into the family, and I can't figure out how you did it. Just like Russo. I can't figure out how he did it, but he did it. But you'll never be as good a wrestler, as good a professional wrestler as either Tyler Black or Davey Richards, and Ring of Honor's got that going for him.
I'll tell you what, Jimmy Cornette definitely returned with a rant this week. And JC, as always, thank you very much, and I'm sure everyone will definitely enjoy tonight's episode of Cornette's Commentary here on Who's Some Who. As always, people head over to jimcornette.com for all the latest info.
And hey, don't forget the debut of Ring of Honor in Louisville, Kentucky, the Bluegrass Brawl, Thursday night, July 22nd, at the Davis Arena, home of OVW. Once again, tickets are on sale at ROHWrestling.com, or you can get them at the door the night of the event, maybe, because the Davis Arena, 400-seat capacity, don't be left out. Get your tickets in advance. Make a reservation. Do something. We'll figure it out.
All right. And, JC, we'll talk to you next week here on Who's Slamming Who.
Well, that's provided that Boland doesn't run long and stock up your system again with too much commentary.
All right, JC, we'll talk to you next week, man. Thanks again.
Thank you, Tommy.
Bye-bye.